Our Heavenly Father, we have come to your spiritual filling station, for our tanks are empty. We ask, O God, this very moment, that you fill us up. Fill us up to the point that we want no more. I take this opportunity to hide myself behind the cross, Daddy. It is a high honor to be used by you. May I not speak of myself, but may I speak as your mouthpiece in the mighty name of Jesus. And every heart, every mind that will receive this word, I pray that their lives, even our lives, will never be the same. And for those that we hear by other means, whether by the internet, whatever means, Lord, I pray in your own might, reach them. And I pray you show yourself mighty. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayers. For we have prayed in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I first of all, I want to give honor to whom honor is due. I want to thank my dear pastor for blessing me with this opportunity to stand before you to bring the word of God this moment. It is not everyone that will provide a platform like this. And my wife can bear witness, this is the type of opportunity that I honestly run away from. But I have positioned myself that no matter what, as the Lord deems fit, if it is His will, then I'll make myself available. Hallelujah. So, the title of the Word of God today is Finding Success in God's Will. I repeat that title. Finding Success in God's Will. Now, I'm going to go straight into the text, and please, if you could, give us Exodus 33. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 3. Then I'm going to jump to verse 12, and I'll read from 12 to 15. Amen. And the Lord said unto Moses, and I'm reading the King James Version. Okay, it's up there. And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart, go up hence, thou and the people which you have brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. Now let's jump to verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up these people, and thou art not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore I pray you, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now the way. Show me now your way, that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this great nation is your people. And the Lord, He said, My presence shall go with you, and I'll give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not from hence. Praise the Lord. You see, when Pastor told me to prepare for this Sunday, I asked Pastor, Is there any area I need to focus on? And he said, No, as the Lord leads. And so, since the moment he told me to prepare, I've been taking the Lord's faith on exactly what is his concern for the church. And so last week, while I was there beating the drum, I think it was, and please forgive me, Mommy Firefire. She was sharing her testimony, and the Lord dropped understanding my will while I was beating the drum. The moment I now got to my seat when Pastor came up here to preach the word, and the title was Praying the Will of God, I trembled, and it was so obvious that my wife, before she went to the class that she handled, saw the shock on my face. It was later on that I explained to her what had happened. And I just want to use this opportunity to assure each and every one of us that though we may be small in number, the Lord is here. And He has proven it time and time again. I can bear witness to that, because everything that I've been handled from, the fresh anointing today that our brother led, to even what we discussed in our Sunday school, that became a very interesting discussion. Everything all lines up with what I'm about to break down. And I'm praying the Lord gives me the grace to respect time, because I'm not a big fan of heat. As you can bear me witness, I sweat too easily. So I'll definitely do my best not to take too much time. Amen. So back to the title, and as I'm going over this, I'll be going all over the place, but I pray the Lord guides our hearts to really what the nitty-gritty is all about. So to the title, Finding Success in God's Will, I want to first submit to us that the first thing as children of God, the first thing that we need to identify is the type of God's will. If many of us may know that God has two wills, and I'm going to give us a good breakdown of it. And some that may not know, well, today is your day. Amen? There are two types of God's will. There is the perfect will of God, because the Bible says that it is not God's will, it's not His will that anyone should perish, but to come to repentance. That is God's will. But there's also the permissive will. The one that when you and I try to insist on our way, the Lord permits it. Not necessarily because of He agrees with it, but because of He's gentle in nature. Amen? And to give us example to that, if you look at Deuteronomy 30 verse 15, and no need to put it up, it says that before you are laid before you the path of life and death. And if you read further, the Bible says that I would that you choose life. So the Lord actually wants us to go after His perfect will, because when He has to put one to death, for example, those that go to hell, the Lord weeps when his soul is lost. But that doesn't mean that that person will not end up in hell. And that is just a snapshot of God's permissive will. He does that even to His own hurt because of His loving Father. Amen? And to give us even a better understanding of, God's permissive will. If you look at the children of Israel, for years they were under the Lord's kingship. But all of a sudden, when Prophet Samuel started getting old and his sons were not living right, and if you want to reference, that would be First Samuel chapter 9. If you read the whole chapter, then you'll get to see where I'm coming from. So Prophet Samuel was getting old, and it so happened that he handed over his assignment to his sons, who were unruly. And in frustration, the children of Israel came to Samuel and were like, hey, you know what? It is high time that we got a king. You see, you are old, and your sons are not even living by your standards, okay? So we need a king, because if you look at our neighbors, they have kings over them. And when Samuel heard this, he grieved in his spirit, because he knew that they were asking for something outside of God's perfect will. And so the Lord gave him word that, tell these people that for what you are requesting, this is what is going to happen. The person you have in mind for a king is going to take what belongs to you, is going to be very harsh towards you. I have been nothing but good to you. But hey, This is what to expect. As Samuel was briefing the Israelites on these things that God was speaking about regarding their request of a king, if you look at verse 21, 1 Samuel 21, please, I think I'll need that verse. And I'm trying to summarize these scriptures and going straight for the main meat. So could you help me get 1 Samuel 9, verse 21? And Saul answered and said, oh, please forgive me. Let me see. That's 1 Samuel 21, yeah. So, and Saul answered and said, I'm not a Benjamite. Okay, I think I definitely picked the wrong verse. Please forgive me. The verse that I'm actually making reference to, and I'm trying to remember if it is verse, I mean chapter 3, but anyways, let's see. That is fine. Basically, what happened is that after Samuel had told the children of Israel about what God's thought about a king outside of him would be about, this particular verse I'm making reference to, the children of Israel, after hearing all the warnings, still said, I know that this verse will be harsh towards us, but we still want a king. And at that point, that is where the Lord told Samuel, go ahead and provide them a king. And we all know what followed. Samuel was selected, and he became the first king of Israel. So that is an example of God's permissive will. It is very clear that any time we go before the Lord to acquire about anything, the Lord has his own agenda. He will speak his own peace. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1, he said, come, let's reason together. So the Lord knows that we may have our opinions, but he also has his. But we will do well if we want to find success in God's will, if we want to find success in God's will, to acquire of him and ensure that whatever his will is what we make paramount for our lives. Amen? So now that I've distinguished between God's perfect will and God's permissive will, I want to quickly jump to hindrances. Hindrances that would keep us from walking in God's perfect will. And there are three elements, just three. The first one is obvious. Anytime we go left, we always say the devil. The devil caused it. Yes, the devil is the enemy. You know, Saul said in the book of, I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, I believe. He said that there is an open and effectual door towards me, but there are many adversaries. The enemy knows that the Lord's perfect will is his desire for us, and that any time we achieve the perfect will of God, that our destiny is bright. And out of jealousy towards us, he does everything in his power to hinder us from getting to that place of rest in the Lord's perfect will. And so, the devil is the first element that is a hindrance to us embracing the perfect will of God. The second is distraction. You know, I tell people that distractions are not necessarily bad, you know, but now the thing with distraction is a bait. It serves as a bait to get us to sway. Okay? For example, if the Lord would have me wait before him, and maybe as I'm driving, I come across McDonald's, and my stomach starts to grumble. Now, McDonald's is not necessarily a bad place, but for the assignment that God will have for me, that McDonald's that serves a lot of people now has now caused me to contemplate going contrary to God's will. And that is why we need to be very careful, because distractions, they are actually, if you ask me, it's actually one of the most dangerous elements that we need to be very mindful of, because our jobs could be a distraction. Our marriage can be a distraction. Now, these things I'm listing are good things. But if we are not careful, those good things could still be the same bait the enemy can use to get us away from the perfect will of God. Amen? Our children can be a distraction. As cute and tender as they are, if we are not aligning ourselves with the perfect will of God, even they can also hinder us from embracing, like walking in line with God's perfect will. And the third element is the flesh. And so the enemy uses distractions to get our flesh to stray. Do you see the three connections? Amen? So the devil uses distractions to get our flesh to stray. And this is really why we need to be very careful. And you know, when we have these three hindrances in mind, I believe on Tuesday, I wasn't present at the Bible study, but my wife came home and briefed me, and our brother Tolu shared about stronghold. And one of the takeaways that I got from that message through my wife was that as we pray for God's mercy daily, it's the same way we should be praying against strongholds. That being delivered at the point of maybe becoming born again is not the end of the story. It is a daily journey. Pulling down those strongholds is a daily struggle, because this stronghold is the enemy, the devil, could be distractions, and it could even be our flesh. But that is, those are the, any stronghold you can think about are narrowed down to those three things. And so that is why we should never settle till we have those three elements in check, where they are not ruling us, but we rule over them. And may the Lord give us the grace to rule over these three elements in the name of Jesus. Amen? Okay, so moving on. So the next point, and if you are taking notes, please take notes on this, is what to do regarding God's perfect will. You see, we talk about God's will. And I feel a lot of times it is more of a head knowledge than bringing it to a point of conviction. And I pray that the Lord will help us to get to that place where the perfect will of God will be so applied in our lives that we will not have to worry about what is going on around us in the name of Jesus. So what to do regarding the perfect will of God? Point number one, desire it desperately. I repeat, desire it desperately. It's not just desire it, and I want the will of God to be applied. That is not enough. It is about desiring it desperately, like your life depends on it. Because if the perfect will of God is not applied to our lives, I am sorry, the other one is waiting. But when the permitting will of God applies, may the Lord help us. It will only take His mercy for Him to get us back in line with His perfect will. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. And point number two, seek. After you've desired it, the next thing is for you to seek it. You see, I'll give you an example. When I went to pharmacy school, honestly, when I left North Carolina for Boston, I just went, my family have given me an extension to further my education. Because at the time, I just finished defending my thesis. I was about getting my master's. And so, all of a sudden, I got admission to pharmacy school. And my parents were telling me, hey, Indy, you know what? You've been in school for too long. It's time to settle. And I had to plead with them that, look, please give me more time. You know, and as I prayed about it, the Lord showed me favor. Because when I got accepted to pharmacy school, I told God that, look, like Moses said, if you're not taking me here, please let me know so that I can just finish this program that you have helped me to achieve and I can start working. But the Lord, in His goodness, taught my parents to grant me an extension of 3 years, which was the time that I told them that it would take to finish my PharmD. And so As I went, as you guys all know, I met my wife here. Now, when I met my wife at the time, I honestly wasn't even looking, I was not even thinking in that direction. When I first told her that I was interested, the Lord used that to remind me why I came to school. That, hey, Izzy, I know you're interested, but look, you came all the way from North Carolina to focus on your studies. I left Chicago to go to Boston to focus on my studies. Let's put that first. If the Lord wills, then it will happen. And so that's how it happened. But the point I'm making is this. Even after she gave me that answer, first semester in our program, I didn't just leave it there. I went before the Lord asking, Daddy, if this is the woman you have for me, please let me know. I don't want what you don't have for me. And when I asked the Lord of that, the Lord gave me 3 confirmations. 3. The first one I got. The second, I told God, thank you for this one, but I need more. The Lord ended up giving me 3 confirmations. And fast forward, as a married individual, each time we may have, like, let's say, a disagreement or something, and my mind wants to wander, the Lord reminds me that He confirmed that she's the one, that I should stay put. Then I respect myself and I stay put. Amen. And so, in reference to what I've just said, seeking God and seeking after the will of God, the perfect will of God, diligently, it requires so much. And if we want to look at the scripture reference, a case in point was Gideon. And just for the sake of time, I will summarize it. This is Gideon, Judges 6:33-40. And a lot of us know the story of how Gideon, the Lord empowered Gideon to go after the enemies. And Gideon now asked the Lord, hey, if you are the one that wants me to face the Midianites and all, please give me a sign. So he asked the Lord, hey, there's a woolen fleece that in the morning, let the fleece collect water and the whole ground be dry. God listened and made that happen. But now, if you look at verse, let's just fast track to verse 39. And Gideon said, after God had given him the first sign, Gideon now said, let not thy anger be hot against me. In the New King James, I have it here. The New King James says that, then Gideon said to God, please don't be angry with me. Please don't be angry with me. When I saw that, it made me realize that it blesses God's heart when we are like children before Him. You know, this morning I was saying to the during the Sunday school that my marriage has only helped me have an understanding, a better understanding of my relationship with the Lord. That as my wife is a bride to me, so am I a bride to the Almighty. And so I can just imagine that same relationship between Gideon and God in this case. That even after God had given him that confirmation in the first instance, he wasn't settled. And the reason is because of he knew that he wanted God's perfect will. And God, the Almighty God, doesn't have an issue with us inquiring of Him. That, Lord, you give me this first sign, but please, if you don't mind, I need more. And the Lord will be so glad to make that happen so that when it does come through, we will not be shaken. Even when challenges come, we will not be shaken. Amen? So point number 3, we need to pray. And this aligns with what Pastor's message was last week. When we are finding in ourselves with facing how to deal with God's perfect will, it's very important for us to pray the word of God. And we need to take self out of it. You know, there are times when I hear my wife pray and I get a little shaky when she's like, Lord, I want you to do this. Lord, I want you to do that. These are not bad prayers, don't get me wrong. But like I tell my wife, We will do even a step better when we stay in that place of, Lord, perfect your case in this matter. Perfect your will in this matter. At that point, you are just giving the Lord that blank check to write whatever he wants to write. And that is exactly where our prayer life should be about. That as good as it is for us to be praying about certain things, let us ensure that we are praying the word of God. And if we are not certain if we are praying the will of God, let us start asking God to work on us so that we can pray the effective prayer. Pastor mentioned last week, I believe it's in the book of James, that many times our prayers are not answered because we pray amiss. Amen? And so we need to get to that place where we ask the Lord, teach me how to pray the will of God. Teach me how to pray the perfect will of God, where selfishness is away from it. And when we put ourselves in that position, watch and see how God will arise and teach us how to pray aright. Amen? And so to the next point is, after we have prayed, we need to be patient. We need to be patient for God's response. And I think for today, since the topic with Sunday School was live and cleave, I guess my mind is still saturated with the whole marriage thing. So I'm always going to be making reference to my wife. Thanks for permitting me. But there's something that is very important here. Be patient for God's response. When my wife told me, wait, Indy, I know you are interested, but we came for this. It was not in a week's time that she told me yes. It was not even in a year's time. It took about a couple of years or so. But what happened in between that? I had to wait patiently. It was not easy. It wasn't easy. I'll tell you the gospel. It wasn't easy. But this point, as I said, that the Lord will bless someone today. It may even be me that this message is for. But I pray that to whom this message concerns, the Lord will reach you wherever you are in the name of Jesus. So be patient for God's response. The Lord has his mouth. He can speak. You know, I made reference to Psalm 23 today. He said that, David said in the book of Psalm 23, he said that thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We need to put ourselves in that position where we find comfort in God, no matter what turn he chooses. You see, this is very important because outside of this, we put ourselves at risk of just going our own way. Even when we actually do things with our own will, guess what? Yes, it might be our will, but that is God's permissive will at work. So we need to be very careful, to be patient, to let God, you know, God's response to come through. And may the Lord help us in Jesus' name. And the last point to this is, after the Lord has responded, we need to just be in the place of surrender. Absolute surrender. Amen. The Bible says that a broken spirit and a contrite heart, he will not despise. When you are in that place of absolute surrender, the Lord translates that as being broken. That is the place where God cares about. I submit to each and every one of us that every blessing that we've gotten, it all leads to one main intention from God. And that is, he wants to ensure that our soul is secured in him. If it's giving you a job, we'll ensure you do not lose your eyes or your sight of him. He will grant you that job. If it means giving you a house, a car, whatever it takes, and now this is as the Lord deems fit, whatever it takes to get us secured in his eternal rest, the Lord will do it. But it's important for us to inquire of the Lord, to inquire constantly of the Lord, that please put me in that place of brokenness. Because after we've prayed concerning a matter and the Lord responds, The next thing is for us to comply. But we cannot comply if we do not surrender. Because there are times where it might require us giving up our original agenda for whatever that is. To that point, why I pause is because I really want to take this time to bless the Lord. Before I got to pharmacy school, I was in a relationship. And as I backtracked, if the Lord had not stepped in, I was so intent on marrying this woman. When the Lord saved my soul, and I was in that relationship, mind you, I wasn't living like a careless life. She was in Nigeria, I was here. But I was so bent on marrying her. When the Lord saved me, He now told me, it's time for you to surrender whatever you have. I surrendered everything except this particular area. I said, Lord, you can have everything for this one. You said that you find a wife, find a good thing, Shabi. I found a wife. I already got her engaged. I had plans of going to Nigeria to go marry, and this happened. As I now started working with the Lord, and the Lord started teaching me on certain things, there was something that He taught me that really shook me, and that's praying dangerous prayers. Dangerous prayers are the ones that you suspect what God's answer will be, but you still go ahead and say, Lord, have your way. This dangerous prayer was what I prayed. I was like, Daddy, okay, now that you've gotten me to this place of brokenness, if this woman that I'm so bent on marrying is not your plan for me, show me now, because you know I'm ready to go and marry. The Lord gave me, it started with dreams. All of a sudden, I started having dreams that were leading me to that, okay, God is telling me that this is not the area, but I was still not convinced. My wife talks today about how she and my mom are close. When I told my mom that I was going to marry this woman, my mom met her. My mom did not approve. My dad, rest his soul, he was like, hey, Indy, you know, I'm not saying yes, I'm not saying no. But remember, you are still a student at the time. You are still a student. So all I'll say is, finish what you are doing, and with that, at that point, you will know whether or not that this is where you need to be. I didn't know that my dad was against it, but that's how diplomatic he was, and I respect him so much, rest his soul. But now, fast forward, a few months after this whole incident took place, this particular lady that I was so bent on marrying, just out of the blue, just told me, Indy, I don't want to continue in this relationship. And I was like, well, guess what? It's fine. So she was surprised that I let her go so easily. But this was all because of the things that the Lord has shown me. Even to a point that she tried coming back. But at that point, I was like, you know what? You're all the way there, I am here. It looks like this is how it's supposed to be. Let's go our separate ways. And the Lord honored me that fast forward, He ended up having me meet my wife when I least expected. But if I had insisted on my way, only God would know what my life would have been today. So I just want to take this opportunity to just bless the Lord for that miracle. Because only He knows what type of burden I suffered that period. So again, that is my last point, that we should be at that place of surrender. Amen. Let's see. So, to summarize all this, to summarize all that I've shared, a lot of us might be in a valley of decision. Some of us might be in the crossroad of life. Some of us may have encountered one disappointment or the other. Some of us may even be having challenges as we speak. But this is what the Lord would have me tell you. He is in control. Amen? And so, while you are yet to get the response that God is about to give you regarding your situation, there are some college, there are some high school students transitioning to college. There are some people that are even trying to know their place with their career. I know I can speak for myself. The first thing that the Lord will have us do is we should be in the habit of singing praises. Singing praises in the midst of that crossroad is the number one recipe to ensure that we do not step out of His perfect will. And if you could open to Isaiah 54 verse 1. And please, let's do this quickly because I need to wrap this up. The Bible says in Isaiah 54 verse 1, it said, "Sing, O barren, thou that did not bear, break forth into singing, and cry aloud, that did not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife," says the Lord. Sing, O barren. Now, barren doesn't necessarily limit to a woman without child. Barren may be that you are expecting something from the Lord. You are trusting the Lord for something, whatever it is, but it hasn't happened yet. The Lord is saying, sing. Because He said that He inhabits in the praises of His people. If you want to assure that the Lord is right next to you, get into the habit of singing. Amen? Secondly, allow God to be sovereign in your life. Allow God to be sovereign. This is the time where you ask the Lord all the right questions. I'll use an example. Paul, after he had his encounter on his way to Damascus, and the Lord had told him that it is he that he was persecuting. Now, keep in mind that Paul is an individual that is, he was a lawyer in his time, because Pharisees were considered lawyers. Mind you, that as knowledgeable as this man was, the question he asked was, "Lord, what would you have me do?" Even when you have all the ideas, "Oh, maybe God wants me to do this. Maybe I should do this. Please," and I'm begging, "please, just take a pause. Pause. And inquire of the Lord, what would you have me to do in this situation?" Even if you have all the answers, and allow the Lord to speak. And the Lord will speak regarding our situation in Jesus' name. The other point is, have a sheep mind. A sheep-like mentality is the point. Having a sheep-like mentality. The Bible says that we are the sheep of His pasture. But to that point, the next thing to think about is, what is the characteristic of a sheep? For as many that know how sheep behave, the reason why God called those on the right sheep and those on the left goats, we know that goats are stubborn. Goats are heavy. But sheep, if you really look at sheep, they are so locked on their shepherd. Even when they are faced with terror by way of a predator, they just stay still. If you excuse me to say, it's like, in, as the Yoruba say, sheep are like depe. Mumu. That is where the Lord would have us be. Because of when we are in that place where we seem foolish, the Lord uses the foolish things to confound the wise. So we need to allow the Lord to be sovereign in our lives. And we have to have that sheep-like mentality. Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were confronted by King Nebuchadnezzar, they were like, this is not up for negotiation. O king, we are not going to bow to this image of yours, even if our God will not deliver us. It's not any room for negotiation. You will look at it in our day and time, and somebody will look at these three guys and be like, wow, how stupid would these guys be? Just bow and go and worship your God in your closet. But this was really where they had that sheep-like mentality. But you and I know what followed. That after they were thrown into the fire, as the minister said one time, that these guys experienced AC in the fire. Because the only thing that got burned was the rope that tied them. When they came out, they didn't smell like barbecue. They didn't smell like anything that got burned. As they came out, they went inbound, they came out free. And this is to let us know that we need to allow God to either deliver us from a situation or to stay with us in that trouble. Either way, the Lord knows how to glorify himself. Amen? And so to my last point, and we are going to put this to a close. Maintain an attitude of gratitude. I'm not going to speak much on that because that is self-explanatory. While we are remaining thankful, we need to stay true to our conviction. So again, you are in a valley of decision. You're trying to decide which way to go. Sing unto the Lord. Let the Lord be sovereign over your situation. Don't let that problem get the better of you. Have a sheep-like mentality. Remain thankful. I can promise you that even in the midst of that crossroad, the Lord will give you a million reasons why you should be thankful. And lastly, when the Lord comes through, stay true to your conviction. Don't question it. And the Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. Shall we rise? Lord, prepare me to be sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Let's raise our hands and ask the Lord, Father, may your perfect will be available to me this moment. Whatever it is your perfect will is, make it available to me. Shall we pray? Father, with this word that has come forth, regarding your will and your perfect will, make this will, even your perfect will, available to us. Make it available to me. I'll make it available to my home. Make it available to your church. Even right here at this local assembly, House of Glory, make your perfect will available. Make your perfect will available to our marriages. Make your perfect will to be available at our places of work. In our careers, Lord, make your perfect will to be available. Make your perfect will, O Lord, to be available to the church at large. Father, Lord, glorify your name, for we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.